All right, as you're getting seated now, I invite you to open your Bible with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And as you're turning to Mark 1, if you are new with us this morning, we've started a series this year going through the Gospel of Mark, looking at this passage by passage and seeing how Mark really invites us to ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? This first half of this Gospel is really discovering who Jesus is. And this morning we're coming to a short passage at the end of chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Hear now the word of the Lord. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for manifesting yourself among us, manifesting yourself in your word. And we come to you, Lord, imploring you, kneeling before you like this leper, recognizing our need for you. And so we pray that you would meet us where we are this morning, minister to us by the power of your Spirit, and teach us, Lord. Teach us how we might live as your disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The renowned medical surgeon, Paul Brand, grew up in India and was raised by missionaries in a remote village. And his father served as a doctor for the villagers, and Brand describes in his writing childhood memories of watching his father work and work on patients, some of whom had horrible afflictions. However, there were some patients that his father did not want him to see. In one account, he writes, "My father would not even let us watch him work on the three strange men who approached the clinic one afternoon. He confined us to the house. But I sneaked out and peered through the bushes. These men had stiff hands covered with sores. Fingers were missing. Bandages covered their feet, and when Dad removed those bandages, I saw that their stumpy feet had no toes. I watched my father, mystified. Could he actually be afraid? He did not banter with the patients. He did something I had never seen before. He put on a pair of gloves before dressing their wounds. The men had brought a basket of fruit as a gift, but after they left, Mother burned the basket along with my father's gloves. An unheard-of act of waste. We were ordered not to play in that spot. Those men were lepers, we were told." Now, that account gives you a little taste of the fact that, whether it be in the ancient world or in relatively modern times, leprosy has been seen as one of the most cruel afflictions. And throughout history, not as much today, but throughout much of history, many people have been afraid of those with leprosy. They've wanted to get as far away from them as possible. But what is so remarkable about this encounter that Jesus has this morning with this man who has leprosy is that Jesus shows absolutely no fear whatsoever. And rather than trying to get as far away from this man as possible, Jesus actually gets as close to this man as he possibly can, so close, in fact, that he actually touches him. And when he touches this leper, this leper's life was never, ever the same again. So I want to walk through this brief passage with you this morning, and the first thing I want you to see is the leper's request. Verse 40 says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" The need to be clean was significant for this man with leprosy, because according to Old Testament law, leprosy would make a person ceremonially unclean. And the word leprosy could actually refer to a number of different skin conditions. It could refer to what we know today as leprosy, but it could refer to other skin conditions as well in Old Testament times. Some of those conditions could be cured. Some of those conditions really couldn't be cured at that time. And if a person had true leprosy, which could not be cured, then that person could never be declared clean. And consequently, lepers were social outcasts. Leviticus chapter 13 says this: "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So leprosy was a severe social affliction. If you had leprosy, you were a social outcast. But it wasn't just a severe social affliction. It was a severe physical affliction. I already mentioned Paul Brand, who was raised by missionaries in India, and as an adult, he became a medical surgeon in the UK and then returned to India, and he became one of the pioneers of leprosy research. And at that time, many people misunderstood leprosy because they assumed that the disease itself actually destroyed human flesh. And so people with leprosy, they said, had bad flesh. It was just something that really you couldn't do anything about. But what Brand discovered after a lot of research was that it was not the leprosy itself, but it was the nerve damage caused by the leprosy that was the problem. You see, when someone has leprosy, it causes such severe nerve damage that they stop being able to feel any pain. They can't feel any pain whatsoever. And so this painlessness causes them to continually injure themselves without even realizing it. And then as they would injure themselves, even minor injuries, little tiny injuries, would lead to infections and would gradually eat away at their flesh and bones. He writes about this in his book that's a very famous book that was written probably about 30 years ago now, called The Gift of Pain. Some of you may have read this. And he gives this illustration. He says, think about wearing a new pair of boots. If you buy a new pair of leather boots and you put those boots on, they're going to be uncomfortable the first several times that you wear them. Or sometimes you've even had this with new shoes, and maybe you get a new pair of shoes and you walk in them and they feel uncomfortable because you haven't broken them in yet, right? And so as you're wearing these shoes and it starts causing pain in different parts of your feet, what do? Well, you naturally feel that pain and you adjust your gait, or you change the way you're walking to compensate for the pain. You might even take breaks and take the shoes off so that it doesn't start causing blisters on your feet. Well, all of this is a way of your body using pain to send signals to you and protect itself. But this simple illustration is not something that someone with leprosy could ever do. Here's what Brand writes. He says, "This entire process is foreign to a leprosy patient. Because he feels no pain from his little toe and heel, his stride never adjusts. After a blister rises, he still keeps walking, oblivious. The blister bursts and an ulcer begins to form. Even so, he puts the shoes back on the next day and the next, each time damaging more of the tissue. Infection may set in. If it goes untreated, that hot infection may spread into the bone, where it will not heal unless it gets complete rest. Studying a succession of x-rays, we learned how pernicious a deep infection can be. Tiny pieces of bone fragment break off and are extruded with the discharge from the wounds, until eventually the infection leads to the loss of toes or even the entire foot. All this time, the leprosy patient may continue to walk on the injury site, showing not the slightest sign of a limp." Imagine not being able to feel any pain. You think that's a good thing. Brand says that's a curse. You don't know when your body is being scalded by touching something that's burning you because you have no sensation of pain. You don't know when you just stepped on a nail because you have no sensation of pain. We live in a world where we think of pain as a curse, but and so we do everything that we can to minimize pain, right? But after years of working with leprosy patients, Paul Brand became convinced that painlessness is actually one of the greatest curses that a person can experience. He writes this. He says, "Pain, my body's way of alerting me to danger, will use whatever volume is necessary to grab my attention. It was their very deafness to this chorus of messages that caused my leprosy patients to destroy themselves. They missed the shouts of pain leading to direct injuries that I have treated every day. And they also missed the whispers of pain, the dangers of the ordinary that come from constant or repetitive stress. Without this chorus of pain, a leprosy patient lives in constant peril." And he concludes that pain is not the real enemy, but the loyal scout announcing the enemy. It is God's gift to help us protect our bodies. But someone with leprosy is cursed with not feeling any pain and therefore going through immense suffering. This man who approached Jesus had probably been through immense suffering, maybe for years, but when he approached Jesus, he recognized three things. He recognized, first of all, that he was very sick and unclean. He knew that. He was under no illusions that he was not sick or unclean. He knew that he was sick and unclean. And secondly, he knew that he could do nothing to heal his own affliction. There was nothing he could do. And the third thing he knew was that he recognized in Jesus someone who could heal him, someone who could make him clean. So, after we see his request, the second thing we see in this passage is the Lord's response. Verse 41 says, "Moved with pity, he," that is Jesus, "stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.'" Now, that's just one simple little verse, but I want you to think about how significant that is, what's going on here. It says Jesus was moved with pity. The Greek word could be translated as pity or compassion. He was moved with compassion. And that is the exact opposite reaction that most people would have had when they encountered someone with leprosy. Most people who responded to lepers in his day, and actually all the way up into modern history, right? They, when they saw or were confronted with a leper, were not moved with compassion. They were moved with revulsion. They were moved with disgust. And Jesus has such a contrary reaction. It makes me think and ask the question, you know, who are the quote-unquote lepers in our day today? There are not that many people living in the United States with leprosy, but there certainly are still people who are social lepers in the sense of being social outcasts or people who the world treats with revulsion. You know, for some, the lepers are people who are homeless. They see someone living in poverty or on the street, and their first sense is not one of compassion, but one of revulsion, or maybe even one of judgment. You know, well, why are they living like that? Surely they must have done something wrong or couldn't seem to just get their act together, and so they may be treated by some like lepers. For others, lepers are drug addicts, you know. People look at those who are addicted to substances and just feel no sense of compassion whatsoever. They're the social outcasts of the day. I just read, there's a story just a few weeks ago in the news about this. You may have heard about this, and you may also know that our church has been a longtime supporter of Milwaukee Rescue Mission. And we have, for years, had folks go down and serve at Milwaukee Rescue Mission. It's a wonderful organization helping people in the city of Milwaukee who are dealing not just with poverty, but also with addiction and other things. And recently there was a story in the local news about how the Milwaukee Rescue Mission had plans to build a $12 million residential rehabilitation center in New Berlin. And this would be a facility that would house up to 120 men seeking addiction treatment and mental health services. That type of facility is in huge shortage today. There's not enough facilities like that. And so they had all of these plans to get this built. However, there was so much pushback from the local community that the New Berlin Common Council denied the land use request. And what was the reason for the pushback? Well, The simple answer is people just didn't want to live near a facility that's housing people struggling with addiction. They might as well be lepers, because we don't want to be near anybody like that. So some people are the lepers of the homeless. Some people, lepers are drug addicts. For some people, lepers are immigrants. You know, we have a huge debate going on in our country right now about immigration and immigration law and how to sort through all that. And there's certainly room for debate about what political policies should be put into place for those things. There's certainly room for debate on that. But there is one matter about which there should be no debate for Christians, and that is that all people, whether immigrants or otherwise, are made in the image of God and should be treated with dignity and compassion. But for some, they're more like lepers. What I want you to see is when Jesus encountered a leper, he was not moved first and foremost with revulsion. He was moved with compassion, with pity. And this is the same thing that should be true for followers of Jesus today. When we see people in need, what is our first reaction? When we see people who are in desperate need and are going through harrowing suffering, what is our first reaction? The first reaction of Jesus was compassion. But I want you to notice that Jesus didn't just pity the man. He also reached out and he touched this man. And that's interesting to think about, right? Because you can pity someone from a distance, and you can have compassion on someone from a distance, and maybe have compassion but then not do anything. Well, Jesus didn't keep his distance. Instead, he reached out, he touched this man. And in one sense, it seems a bit strange, because we know that Jesus didn't have to touch people in order to heal them. There are occasions where he healed people simply by speaking, and they were instantaneously healed. So why would he go ahead and touch this leper when he didn't have to touch him? In fact, you see this over and over again in Mark. There are many different occasions where Jesus went out of his way to touch someone in order to heal them, even though we know he did not have to do that. It's especially remarkable in the case of the leper, because according to Jewish tradition, not only were lepers unclean, but anyone who touched a leper would have been considered unclean. But Jesus wasn't afraid of this man making him unclean. He was simply concerned with having compassion on him. And I want you to think about how significant that would have been for this man to feel human touch. He lived as a social outcast, maybe for years. It is reasonable to assume that he had not felt human touch in any form for a very long time. No touch from his family, no touch from friends, no touch from strangers, not even a handshake. You know, scientists have documented that human touch is actually extremely important for our well-being. When an infant is born, they know that human touch is essential for a baby's cognitive and developmental growth. If an infant is born and does not have any human contact, is just left, it is very, very detrimental to that child's health. And it's not just important for children, but for adults as well. They've done studies that have shown that physical touch is good for our emotional and mental health. I don't know if you've seen this, but they've even done studies about hugs. Have you seen this? They've done studies that have shown that hugs, apparently, regular hugs, can lower blood pressure, decrease inflammation, boost immune function, and lower stress. Who needs everything else? All you need is just a hug, right? Well, here's the moral of the story. Here's your application. Give somebody a hug at church today. I don't know. Human touch, the point I'm trying to make here, is significant. And I don't think it's just random that Jesus went out of his way to touch the people that he was ministering to and that he healed. God created us as physical beings, and that is an important part of our existence. So imagine, again, what it would have been like to be this leper. We take human touch for granted. We take a handshake or a hug for granted. But this is a man who would have not, no one wanted to be even near him for a long time, let alone touch him. And Jesus stops and he puts his hand on this man and he says, "I will be clean." And notice what happened in that very moment. Verse 42 says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After Jesus touched that man, his life was never the same. This was a healing that was instantaneous, and it was a healing that was complete. And so the final part of this passage, what you see, is then the leper's report. Verse 43, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." Many people wonder why Jesus often told people who he healed not to tell anybody about it. It seems counterintuitive, because if Jesus is the Messiah, wouldn't he want everyone to know? Wouldn't he want that news to be shouted from the rooftops? And yet, what you begin to see in the Gospels is that the reason that Jesus did not want people shouting about these healings from the rooftops is because he did not want people to misinterpret and misunderstand why he came and who he was. Jesus had not come primarily to be a miracle worker. Jesus had come for something much more. We talked about this last week. He had come not primarily to perform miracles, but to preach the gospel and to point people to their need for salvation in him. And he knew that if people would just flock to him for miracles, it was only going to distract from his central mission and impede his ministry. Unfortunately, most of the people Jesus talked to weren't very good listeners. And the leper is a great example of this. Verse 45, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. No matter how much Jesus tried to keep people quiet, they just would not keep quiet about what he was doing. And the great irony in this passage is that you get to the end of this passage, and Jesus and the leper have sort of switched places. Before their encounter, the leper could not openly enter any town because of his shame. And after the encounter, now Jesus can't openly enter any town because of his fame. And so they switch places, and as we step back and we consider this passage and how it relates to our lives, there are so many applications we could make. And of course, one way to apply this is something we already talked about. This is a passage that really is a lesson in compassion. Just as Jesus was willing to love those whom the world did not love, we should be willing to do the same. Just as Jesus was willing to touch the untouchable, we should be willing to do the same. In other words, this passage calls us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and reflect his compassion to a hurting world. And that is certainly one way we should apply this passage, but it's not the only way. And in fact, I think if we stop there, we miss an even deeper truth that this passage points us to. Because I don't think this passage calls us just to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But I think this passage also calls us to see ourselves in the footsteps of the leper. Let me say that again. This passage is not just calling us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, but to see ourselves in the footsteps of the leper. Because spiritually speaking, we have to recognize that we are all just like this leper who came to Jesus. We may not have a physical disease, but Scripture does say we have a spiritual disease called sin. And similar to leprosy, which slowly destroys a person's body, the Bible says sin slowly destroys our souls if nothing is done about it. And in fact, sin is actually far worse than leprosy, because leprosy can only destroy our bodies, but sin can destroy our souls, and it makes us unclean before God. If nothing is done about sin, then we are unclean and we are separated from God for an eternity. Now, earlier I said that when the leper came to Jesus, he recognized three things. He recognized that he was sick and unclean. That was number one. Then secondly, he recognized that he could do nothing to heal himself. And the third thing he recognized was that when he saw Jesus, he saw in Jesus one who could heal him. Now, I want you to think about this morning, because those three things that the leper recognized are the same three things that we have to recognize if we are going to be saved. First of all, we have to recognize that we are sinners and our sin has made us unclean before God. Secondly, we have to recognize that we are unable to save ourselves. We cannot cleanse ourselves from our sin. There is no way, and we are without hope except in his sovereign mercy. And thirdly, we have to recognize that Jesus is the one who can do what we can't do for ourselves. He can make us clean. He can save us from our sins. There is only one way only to be saved, and that is to come to Christ and ask him to make you clean. That's exactly what the leper did. He came to Jesus and he said, "If you will, you can make me clean." And that is an enduring reminder of who we are. It's an enduring reminder of what we must do to be saved. It's an enduring reminder that no one is so unclean that they cannot be cleansed by the redeeming power of Jesus. As J.C. Ryle wrote, he said, "It is a cheering and comfortable thought that with Christ, nothing is impossible. No heart disease is so deep-seated, but he is able to cure it. No plague of the soul is so virulent, but our great physician can heal it. Let us never despair of anyone's salvation so long as he lives. The worst of spiritual lepers may yet be cleansed." Let's pray.